To be a winemaker, you need to be a little bit crazy.
Pinot Noir, it's not going to knock your socks off, but it's going to seduce you. It's going to slip your socks off.
When you've got the basic fruit intensity in the wine itself, they're the wines that are going to age very well.
For my family, Moscato is in our DNA.
It is only Barbera, this wine. Why it is so expensive? Because it's very good wine.
We make a white Barbera, which is called Carica l'Asino, which, by the way, means load the donkey, and we don't know why.
We say, so drink the wine. That's kind of our motto here at Life Between the Vines. One of the cool things about wine, besides drinking it, is the people you drink it with. And the stories you hear and tell with wine all come together to make every bottle unique. Discovering and tasting wine shouldn't be a homework assignment. And we believe that the people who are closest to wine have the best stories. So open a bottle.
And welcome to podcast number 261. This week we feature Ian McClellan of Annabel Winery in Sonoma. Just after high school, Ian McClellan was an intern at Fifth Floor Recording Company in his hometown of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Fifth Floor is the home studio of Life Between the Vines. Needless to say, it was thrilling to see Ian head west to join the wine industry and make a solid career for himself. Today, he is the cellar master for Annabel Winery in Sonoma, and we visited him and his wife back in November. After surviving harvest and the fires, there was a lot to talk about. I'm here in Sonoma, and we are at the cellar of Annabel Wines, and I'm here with the cellar master, Ian McClellan. Ian, how you doing?
Good. Thank you, Ray.
It's good to see you. I'm going to start off by saying Ian is an old friend. He is also a former employee of mine, but that's not why he's being interviewed. What's really fun about Ian is that he's worked his way through different parts of his career to traveling around the world, working in the cellar in different places, and now he finds himself in Sonoma working for a very respected wine label, again by the name of Annabel, and he is the cellar master, and who knows what lays in front of him. So pretty cool, Ian.
Thank you. Yeah, this is awesome to be able to sit here and do this interview.
First thing I'm going to ask you is, what is the definition of a cellar master?
Sure. So basically the cellar master's job is to take the vision of the winemaker and make sure what happens in the cellar, the quality of the wine is all packed into the vineyard and to the pick dates. And so the winemakers, that's their job to work with the vineyard managers to get the fruit into the winery at the specific time that they want the fruit in. And it's my job is, it's essentially quality control. So we take their vision and we make sure their vision can get produced into the bottle to make a great wine.
And so really, you know, quality control, tracking, and really every step of the wine's evolution is part of your responsibility then.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So what we see sitting behind us in barrels, barrels are different kinds of barrels here, whether they're French or I'm not sure where they're from.
They're all French here.
Are these all Annabel wines, or are you making wines for other people here?
No, so we do a kind of a small level custom crush where we have our two winemakers have their own personal labels here. And then we also make wines for Reeve Wines and also for Claypool Cellars. And then Annabel is the large chunk of it. It's about 35% of the wine here is Annabel, and the rest is custom crush.
How many cases is Annabel doing?
6,000 cases.
Okay, so yeah. This is what we would consider a smaller winery.
It's very small. Altogether, we do 250 tons of grapes, so convert that into gallons. And
a lot of grapes.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, relatively speaking to the average person who has never worked in a winery.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, you could... So basically, one ton of grapes gets you 155 gallons, if you're lucky. So
if you're lucky, meaning depending on your
it depends on vintage. The yield of vintage, the you know the rains you had last winter, how much you press your grapes. If we tend to press a little lighter here, so we don't want all the hard press that you get. So I'd say we're happy when we get 145 gallons per ton here. So 145 times 250, that's what we produce here.
Nice. And what wines are you making here?
So we are definitely predominantly Pinot Noir. It's probably 80% of our production. And we also do a lot of Chardonnay. So it's Pinot Noir, Chardonnay, but Annaba is also very famous for their Rhone varieties and their Rhone blends. So we do what we call the Turbine Red. That is a GSM blend, Grenache, Syrah, Mourvèdre. And we also do a Petit Syrah, and then a couple Syrah vineyard designates. Other than that, for some of our other clients, they make Sangiovese here and some Cabernet and Merlot. We kind of run the gamut. We have, I think, a total of almost 30 different vineyards that we work with just in this small space with that small tonnage, which is actually pretty impressive, but also part of why that job here is so complex.
Yeah, that's got to be very complex. Yeah. And now just for Annaba, you have your own vineyards. Do you lease as well or no?
Yes. So our own estate vineyard produces Chardonnay, and that's it right now. We're currently in the process of building a new winery, so we actually had to rip up a bunch of old vines that weren't quite working out and just to make space for the new facility. But our Chardonnay is fantastic. Some of the best Encarneros that I've had. Other than that, most of our fruit comes from Sonoma Coast, and the Rhone varieties come from Sonoma Valley, Moon Mountain, Sonoma Mountain. I think those are all the AVAs we work with. Yeah. So Sonoma Coast, Russian River, just a touch of Russian River, and Sonoma Valley.
Now, this winery is located in an industrial park, and this is still part of Carneros, correct?
True. Yeah.
Which is Sonoma. That's the Sonoma part of Carneros.
Right. Yeah. So we're here right off of 8th Street East, right down the street from Furont Diner. We're right by the intersection of 121 and 116, where 116 ends, and it's this giant conglomeration of wineries that all sort of work in the same space that lease out.
Smaller wineries that are maybe looking to down the road grow into their own spaces depending on what they have to go through to get all the permits, right?
True. The permits are probably one of the hardest things to get as far as building your own space.
This is exciting, and I really mean that for me to talk to you. I mean, again, having known you since your high school years, I said this earlier today, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of what you've done because the cellar master job is, if there's a word that equates to that, I mean, it's responsibility. Tell me, I mean, I'm wrong there.
Yeah, the buck ends with me. That's, you lose all your livelihood.
And these are, you know, these are the winemaker's babies, which then make them your babies.
Right.
Yeah.
Cleanliness is of the utmost importance. It's like, here's the thing, like one of the biggest problems that can happen in any winery is Brettanomyces or TCA, and keeping that out of the winery is super important to us, and what we do with our barrel program like keeps all of that out of the equation. Like, we go above and beyond to make sure all of our barrels are perfectly taken care of. They're our babies. They hold our wine. Right. Like, that's what we want, to take care of our wine. And if you don't take care of your barrels, you don't have good wine. So
you've got kind of an interesting history once you got into this idea. I used to say to you, I thought you'd either be a winemaker or you'd be a chef, because you really are a good cook. I've had your food before. And you spent some time in Australia working as a cellar rat, right?
I did, yep. Margaret River, in a 2013 vintage. We worked at Wise Winery, my wife and I, a couple of years before we got married. And it was probably one of the best traveling experiences of my life. Like, they do things very differently in Australia, but also that Margaret River area is an awesome little niche that is still kind of up and coming compared to the rest of the country, the Barossa Valley and the Eastern Coast. It was a much bigger winery. We did about over 1,000 tons. We had a press that was on rails, like a train car.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And you could move it underneath the tanks, so you could dig out the tanks in straight into the press.
That's pretty cool.
Which is something I wish we could do here.
Yeah. Wow. I would imagine, though, that's a serious infrastructure.
Yeah. And it was actually kind of surprising for such an up-and-coming area that, you know, that they've been there for a long time. And anyways, I learned a lot from working in Australia, just from the more technical standpoint of things. And Jamie, my wife, worked in the lab the whole time, and I learned a lot from her. There it was like a more hands-on experience in the lab.
So I'm going to go back up to your wife, Jamie, who we've been talking about, and Jamie is the enologist at Chateau Montalena, which kind of makes for an interesting marriage because she's in Napa, you're in Sonoma, and you're in a very different part of the business. But yet, between the two of you, you know, breakfast conversations can be really interesting because you have two different worlds you live in that are all connected.
That's true. Yeah. Even though she works in Napa, we both still have our hearts in Sonoma, actually.
That's okay.
We met at a winery, a custom crush winery in Santa Rosa, and as interns, and fell in love at the end of our 2012 harvest. And our boss, the production manager, ended up being the guy that married us.
So
this whole industry just basically stole our hearts, and we're loving the hell out of it right now. I don't know how else to explain it.
That's a great way to explain it. It's a lovely place to live. I mean, here we are today in November, mid-November. It's probably about 65, sunny, beautiful outside, you know. And thank God the fires are behind us, which I'm going to come back to in a minute. But I mean, yeah, you've got a great life going here. I just want to point out for our listeners, you guys were married last year back in Wisconsin, which is where you're from.
Yep. And yeah, we didn't get married here. We went back to Milwaukee.
Kind of ironic.
Midwest.
Everybody comes here to get married, and you guys went back. It's cool. Do you ever spend any time in the vineyards that connects up to your job?
Sure. So actually, talking about the fires, just after, well, a couple of weeks after they happened, I went up. We have a vineyard just down the road here called Landa, where we get most of our GSM varieties, our Rhone varieties, and we had to go check it out to see how the ash levels were on the grapes, to sample them to see how they were tasting, and to just decide, hey, can we still make this? So yeah, as far as that, and that also comes back to quality control, I suppose. So it was actually more of a trip of getting bins out there and getting bins out of there that were covered in ash. But yeah, I mean, I don't spend much time in the vineyards. So that's not part of my job.
No, I didn't think it was, but I was just a little curious because a lot of these jobs, you know, cellar master is kind of it's a mystery title. People aren't always sure what it means, just like enologist.
Right. They think you like organize library.
Right.
Wines,
right.
Spin bottles.
Exactly. And then your wife being the enologist, you know, she's the brain. She's always in the lab. But, you know, I'm sure she spends a little bit of time in the vineyard, at the very least collecting samples.
She definitely does. Yeah.
So let's talk about the fire and how it affected you here. Obviously, you living here would have put a pretty good scare on you.
Sure.
Let alone the fact that your livelihood is here and you potentially could have lost it. Did it come close to where we're at here?
It did. It came. Most of the downtown Sonoma got evacuated. It came up to the hills all around here, and it was almost like a volcano went off during the day. Like crazy. Just ash falling from the sky. But thankfully, we never lost power at this winery. We never technically had to evacuate this winery. I live in Santa Rosa in Rincon Valley, and we were only in an advisory evacuation area, but all of the mandatory evacuations were in literally a square box around us. So it was like, okay, well, we have no power at home. I can see the fires on that hill. I can see the fires on that hill. Like, we should probably get out of here. So
it's scary beyond belief. And until you talk to people who I've talked to several who've experienced it, I mean, none of us can appreciate it. We can't walk in your shoes. Well, the other side of this too is there are so many times where winemakers couldn't get to their grapes for periods of time.
That's true.
Right at harvest, right when it's critical. Again, it's the same idea. Your baby's out there and you can't be there to help them. That's really nuts.
Yeah, a lot of winemakers around, even in this complex, were sneaking past the police on back roads that weren't blocked off just to get to their vineyards to check out the grapes to see, hey, we got to get a crew out here. It was a rough couple of weeks.
You know, it's funny. I'd heard in the mountains, too, that now that a lot of the stuff has burned over, there's been a lot of what they call fire roads that have been revealed. In other words, roads where firemen used to be able to get to certain places that were not public roads. They're being rediscovered from a long time ago, which, who knows, maybe in the future will help things.
I feel like some of these winemakers already knew about those roads.
Probably so.
Well, I don't know if they could drive up it, but yeah.
Well, you know, there are some bicycle riding winemakers out there.
That's true.
The agriculture business in general is suffering from a labor shortage. you're a cellar master, so you're working with people. How many people do you work with here in the cellar that work underneath you?
Sure. So there is 4 full-time employees. So me and the production manager and the 2 other cellar workers. And then we typically hire, or we would like to hire, 5 to 6 interns every harvest.
They're paid interns?
Yes, absolutely.
So you like to hire. I mean, I clearly see this on your face. You're having a problem getting people
harvest. Yes, yeah.
Why? What's the problem as you see it?
I mean, I'm not sure. It seems like, so we typically love to, I mean, we'd love to hire anybody that wants to work in the wine industry that has a passion or a drive to work with wine and work with grapes. And in the past, it's been really easy to find a lot of international people from all over the world to come work in the winery. And this year, that seems to have been much more difficult for whatever reason. The way we typically hire people is through our overseas agricultural internship programs, such as MAST or CAEP. And those are being like blood dry these days, it seems like. We could only find 2 people, and typically we're like flooded with internships. Actually, we offered jobs to probably 7 or 8 people that got their visas declined through this program. And I don't know why that was happening, but then also, I mean, just in general, every winery around here has been having trouble finding interns. It's never been this hard before.
Yeah.
There was always a pool of people, sure, wanting to come here to work in the wine industry. There's like, that hasn't changed. People want to come here and work with wine and work here. And all of a sudden we can't get them here. So,
this is probably a bad question, but I'll ask it anyway. I've had a couple of people tell me, younger people, that some miners have a harder time getting younger people. It's half the idea is just simply getting their hands dirty, doing the physical labor. Have you run into that too? Or?
I mean, it's funny. We always tell people like, hey, that's the first thing I'm telling them. Your 90% of your job is cleaning. You're basically a glorified janitor here in the winery. Yeah. Like, that's what we do. We clean. And people are always like, oh yeah, sure, no problem. And then they get into the cellar and it's not quite as glamorous as they originally imagined. I always tell people, we'll provide you rubber boots. Why would I need rubber boots?
That's always. This is the lifeblood of a winery, because without bodies, especially when it comes to harvest, when the grapes say we're ready to be picked, you can't mess around. You got to be there.
Sure.
And then you here in the cellar have to be ready to process for the people who are in the vineyards. This is all, you know, an ABCD operation.
Yeah. And you can't, it's a logistical maze, or the grapes come in when they're ready, when the winemakers decide they're ready. This year, we had over half of our production come in within 10 days. Wow. We do 250 tons here. 130 tons came in 10 days. That's crazy. There was a heat wave right at the beginning of September, end of August, and everybody around here just were like, well, at least in the Sonoma Coast region, I was like, we could pick. So we were at capacity. We were literally about to borrow tanks from other people in the area. Thankfully, we were like down to our last T-bin.
It's kind of a great irony here too, though. Maybe that heat wave helped you when you consider the fire was coming and you were able to get everything off the vines.
Yeah, that's true. We actually 100% of Annaba's production was in before the fires. And 90% of everybody else's around here was in before the fires as well. We did have a couple lots of Cabernet and Merlot still hanging on the vines for some of our clients that they decided not to pick. And then also, Grenache, Syrah, Mourvèdre that were hanging that we didn't pick either for Annaba because of the fires. But for the most part, like, it's going to be a good vintage. Like, this is the wine is tasting amazing right now. Nice. There's no reason to think that 2017 is going to be a screwed up vintage. And I think that is a rumor, a myth that's being spread around a lot right now. Like, oh, 2017's messed up. No, it's fine.
Do you have any idea of any solution to it? Is there something in your head that you think about that might help make this a little easier for people.
Yeah, I think we need to get the J-1 visas, more J-1 visas. That's what, it's the student training visa that most international interns come in on. There's a reason that's being limited. There was one of the 9/11 attackers that was on a J-1 visa, and that's why it's so hard to get right now. But, I mean, it's not like there's a lack of local passion either. It's just, this is an industry that requires a lot of help during a certain time of the year, and it's a great place and a great way to learn about making wine. And just, like, why not get more people to come in and help and learn? I don't know. I'm not a politician.
Ian, for our listeners who'd like to learn about Annaba Wines online, how would they do that?
Sure. I mean, well, Annaba Wines, it sounds different than most people pronounce it. Most people say Annaba, but it's ANABAwines.com. You can email me, Ian@AnnabaWines.com, anytime you have any questions. We hire 5 to 6 interns every year. If you're interested in getting into the business, let me know. I'm the first step to getting you into the door. So,
do you take old interns, Ian?
I do. We'll take anyone of any age. Like no.
We'll take anyone.
Just kidding.
And also in regard to the tasting room, which as you said is up the road, is that by appointment or can people wander in anytime?
Oh, you can wander in. I mean, it's right where, if you're coming up from the city, right where 121 meets 116. And it's that four-way stop right there. Instead of heading over to Napa, just stop right there. Animal Wines.
Ian, thanks a lot for the time. Really good seeing you. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Learn more by visiting AnnabaWines.com.
Thanks for listening, and remember to like us on Facebook. Also, check out our YouTube channel.
Life Between the Vines is produced at Fifth Floor Recording Company in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Produced and edited by Ray Pfister. Theme song and original music written and recorded by Tim Dondarevo. Our host is Kay Paskoff. Our graphics and website specialist is Lawton Hall. Our web geek is Dan Gieschen. Photos by Jeanette Herniak. Copyright 2018.